You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. And today, our reporter Eli Wirtschafter has been taking us all over the Bay, looking at new ideas for our transportation network. And at the end, he wanted to find out, what exactly are we reaching for? What do we really want for the future of transportation?
So I'm going around asking people about their dream transit system for the Bay Area. And a lot of people say they want transit to be way more convenient. This is my friend Chris Quinez. Everyone calls him Bird. He plays in punk bands.
I think about all my punk friends, right? They take public transit.
But getting all their gear on a bus is almost impossible.
Forget it.
In his public transit future, no problem. Say he needs to get to a gig. This flying train swoops up to his house. He takes his amp and he puts it outside.
So then they have, like, you know, the claw, the game claw. So I put my amp there, the game claw grabs it.
He hops in the flying train, and when he gets to the club,
it's gonna airdrop it, you know. Parachute it down, baby. Yep, parachute it down.
Boom. A lot of people imagine that they're gonna be flying around. But I have another friend who says, no, no, the future is in water travel. His name is Alex Guinness. He takes public transit all the time.
I have a spinal cord injury and drive around in a large power wheelchair. And I work on how folks with disabilities will get hit by climate change.
He's worried about what will happen if rising sea levels flood the BART system.
If we're entering a future where the public transit system isn't able to navigate things, and if transit breaks down, then I'm stuck at home.
He's imagining that Pier 41, Jack London Square, those places are long underwater.
So what you have to do is you have to build amphibious boat buses.
He describes these big ferries. He calls them boat motherships that can dock anywhere.
The new shoreline is right there. It's halfway up a city block, and the boat would just push, and it would push, and it would crash, slide forward up onto this ever-changing shoreline edge.
He's kind of joking, but he has personal experience with the challenge of getting around on difficult terrain.
I was going down the hills of San Francisco today, and I tilted my chair back 45 degrees to get down some of these hills, and I'm just thinking, my God, if I didn't have this wheelchair with the tilt function, I wouldn't be able to get around the city in the first place.
He says it's the same with public transit. When sea levels rise, we'll have to adapt.
And doing things like changing the tilt function on this chair, we can change the tilt function on the entire transit system.
Huh. He isn't the only one thinking about environmental consequences. This is David Goldstein. He's 11.
While they're building the tracks or the roads or anything for that transportation, they don't destroy anything that may help us in the future, or anything that's a forest or a wide meadow, because something like that is really beautiful, and if we keep on destroying things like that, it will be gone from our world.
Oh, man. So David also has a twin sister named Miriam, and they gave me several demands.
There would be a kids bus for kids who like excitement, and it would be like a roller coaster. And then there would be one for adults or other people who like smooth rides.
On the kids bus, kids would be in charge, obviously.
David, what would happen if Miriam was in charge of the bus?
She's crazy. She'd cover everyone in stickers and then drown them in confetti. I like if they, if you're allowed to eat there, and if they actually serve good food. I love good food.
How would it get served to you?
On the china platter.
Maybe like waiters or something, like a restaurant, except in a school bus.
All right, this is getting a little silly. We need to talk to an expert. Lauren Isaac works for the big consulting firm WSP Parsons Brinckerhoff, which does a lot of transit projects. I thought she might give me the most mundane answers of anyone I talked to. I was wrong.
If we had driverless pods taking people from their homes and bringing them to the BART stations, then all of a sudden you have a lot more people having access to the transit network.
Now, to be fair, this is her dream scenario. But she thinks the impact of driverless cars on public transit could be huge, because driverless cars and public transit don't have to be different things. For example, she says, buses without drivers would be safer and cheaper to run. So you could totally reimagine what the inside of a bus looks like.
Well, for example, I love doing spinning classes. So maybe there's a vehicle that has occupancy for, you know, 10, 20, 30 people, but instead of seats, you have stationary bikes, and you could take a class while the vehicle is taking you into work.
Whoa. Now, if that sounds crazy fancy, her point is that public transit should be appealing. People should want to use it. Because there's a dystopia scenario for driverless cars too, where everyone has their own individual car and traffic is even worse than now because we won't mind being stuck in it forever.
Because you could start working or working out or, you know, watching TV on the big screen.
She says that governments now have a big choice. We could end up in driverless dystopia, or we could really invest in shared vehicles and transit.
Because in the end, people are going to choose what's easiest for them, whether it's the cheapest thing, the most reliable thing, the most convenient thing. And so if public transit doesn't meet one or more of those needs, they're not going to choose it.
Probably nothing in the modern world moves more slowly than a transportation infrastructure project. But transportation technology is changing, and that technology is being developed right here. The question is whether our transit will keep up. In San Francisco, I'm Eli Wirtschafter for CrossCurrents.